Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we'd like to find out who is here today. It's a very simple process. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad and fill it out. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, once you're done, send it back to where it got started. First person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Several announcements very quickly. This Wednesday is the end of our Operation Christmas Child collection. We have boxes as you came in the church for items. This Wednesday, our youth and our children will be working together to box up all those items to be sent around the world. So we appreciate any offerings, any things that you can drop into those boxes, toys, hygiene items, clothing. Remember, it all has to fit within a shoebox. So we're well on our way. Thank you for your help with that. We also, in 2 weeks from today, is our exam pack run. That's right. We are close to exam time. That means Thanksgiving and Christmas are right here. So in 2 weeks will be when we have those exam packs, and that's when we collect snack items, homemade or store-bought, to take to our college students. So just want you to be aware of that. There's a lot going on, but want to make sure that gets out there. We are having children's time today. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make note of those things. Michael Gruber, come on, buddy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk with you guys real quick. I want to remind everybody, make you aware, this Wednesday we have a call to conference concerning the cell tower proposal, if we want to put one in the backyard back here. When you guys pulled in this morning, you probably saw the orange fence down there. That is the best visual representation we can give you guys of where the proposed site that the company wants to put the cell tower on is. We know we've got questions. We are going to be meeting the committee that has been established to study the cell tower. Is going to be in Smith Hall after this service. We welcome all of y'all to come down, ask your questions. We're going to do the best we can to answer it. Most importantly, I want to encourage everybody to come Wednesday to that meeting and get your vote counted. Good, bad, or indifferent, we want everybody's voices to be heard. This is a long-term commitment. It's something that we need to really pray about and put some importance on. So if you got any questions, come see us after this service in Smith Hall, and come see us Wednesday. Thank you.
We're just full of votes around here. Good, 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 good. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so thankful for your presence today. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information you put on the pew pad a moment ago, and we'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are going to recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day.
We told you last week that we would be recognizing our veterans and pausing for just a moment to give thanks for their service today. We just felt like we would do it this weekend because it was a little bit closer to Veterans Day. Veterans Day was Friday, and apart from just being a federal holiday and a day that the kids get out of school, for me it was a day of thankfulness. Thankful that so many have chosen to serve our country in this way. So we want to give a proper thank you to each of you this morning. So if you have served as a veteran or in any of the auxiliaries, whatever, during peacetime, in any capacity whatsoever, would you please stand? Thank you so much. I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart, and I know from other people, we are truly thankful for your service, that unselfish part of you that said, I will serve, I will be counted. So we are truly grateful. During the course of this last year, we lost one of our men who had a special place in our heart as well. And as Steve and I were talking about an appropriate time for them to come and to offer a plaque, and I won't tell you more about it. I don't want to step on your talking points there, but today was the day that we decided upon would be most appropriate because this is our time of recognizing our veterans. So, Steve, without further ado, if you would come, please, and present what you have for us today.
This plaque is donated to College Park Baptist Church by the Imajima Survivors Association. The founding person was Horace Chuck Barbie, and it's the Piedmont chapter in memory of Chuck Horace Barbie, our friend. And Chuck started this association back in 1995 with a group of, I think it was nine original Iwo Jima survivors from the surrounding area. And he kept that going over the years. And we as a group decided to honor Chuck while he was still living with this plaque. And unfortunately, he passed away, so we thought it would be great to donate it to his church. And with that, Raymond, here's the plaque.
Beautiful plaque. I won't read it all to you because this will actually be out on the information center on an easel, and we'll leave it out there for at least about a month and where everybody can see it. It gives some history. It tells a little bit of his story, and then says donated to College Park Baptist Church by the Iwo Jima Survivors Association Piedmont chapter in memory of Horace Chuck Barbie. Then gives the dates of his life, January 31st, 1925 to December 21st, 2015. So we'll place it out there and invite you to come by and take a look at it. It's a beautiful plaque. Thank you to family and friends who are here today to honor his life and his service. And again, to each of you who have served in our military or auxiliary, or if you've been a family member who's supported those, we know that it is a family commitment many times. So I thank you very much for your faithfulness.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Blessed be your name, O Lord. Indeed, blessed be your name. That is why we're here, together, to say with our mouths, our very lives, blessed be your name. So, Father, for all that will happen here this day, we give you glory, and we ask that you come into this place so that we can be in your presence as the body of Christ, worshiping you with everything we have. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Need all the kids to come on down. I'm going to, my buddy Drew has something he wants to help you with. Y'all come on down. Sit right down here. Just smell it. Smell it. You smell it. It smells good. Oh, yeah, I know. All right. Okay. My buddy Drew, he's my partner today. He's gonna bring this around, and I just want you come, don't touch. Keep your hands to yourself, okay? But, all right. I want you just Smell it. All right, just hold it down near their nose so they can smell it. Do you like that? If you smelled it, you just want to eat it, right?
I didn't smell because I knew
you were going to overreact and just grab the popcorn right out of his hand. That is called self-control. That is good. Good job. Everybody give Drew a hand. You can take a seat. Take a seat. We love the smell of popcorn, right? You love the smell of popcorn. You like popcorn? Well, that is one of the things, that's one of my favorite things, is when you smell it, it's like when you go to the movies. Have you ever gone to the movies? What's the very first thing that you smell? Popcorn. It just smells so good, and you buy way too much popcorn because you think you can eat all of it, and then you don't. It is so, so good. The Bible talks about when Jesus gave himself as an offering, as he gave himself, it was fragrant. It was a beautiful thing when Jesus gave himself. Now, this morning, I just wanted to remind you, when we walk through places and people see us, do they smile or do they frown when they see us? Do you smile when you smell popcorn? Oh, yeah. We smile because we're excited about that popcorn. You and I, when we walk through a room, we should be so thankful for what God has done for us that people look at us and they go, something is different about that person, that boy or girl, because they see we are thankful and happy and kind to each other. So this morning, we're going to have a time a little bit later where we give back to God. Just because of all that he's done for us, we're thankful. I'm going to give you, because I'm thankful for you, not right now, but at the end of the service, I'll be in the gym lobby, I will have your very own popcorn. Not a whole bag. Not a whole bag, moms and dads, okay? Not a whole bag. Just a little bit of popcorn, okay? Oh, I know, right? There will be no sodas, just popcorn, all right? I want you to remember, today, I wanted to do something nice for you. Are you thankful to have some popcorn? I want you, because of your smile, because of what we've done here, I want you to go be good to somebody else so that they smile when they see you. Can you do that today? When somebody sees you, can you be nice to them so that they smile when they see you? Can you do that for me? That's when I'll be thankful. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for all the many things that you have done for us. And Father, because of all the things you've done for us, we should be happy and smiling and showing everybody else what it means to love Jesus. Just like when we open that popcorn and we smell and we smile, people should see us and smile because they know we love you. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you a little later.
Just for the record, it's really good. That popcorn is really good. I felt it was my duty as Jeff's supervisor to make sure that the children were protected. So when he was popping it in the office suite a few minutes ago, I sampled just to make sure I was thankful. it's delicious. This morning we are going to talk about three habits of highly thankful people. Three habits of highly thankful. I started with 12 and narrowed it to 10. Then went to 8, and I ended up with 3. I think you could probably fill in more. But let's read our text. It is not the one that's actually listed in your order of service. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 8. So if you'll flip over to the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, You'll land in chapter 8. And I felt like this would be a good place for us to draw from this morning. Good reminders. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. You may chuckle over that. We'll get back to it. That's significant, though. Verse 5, know then in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. Now you might say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. We live in a world, we live in a culture, we live in a place where gratitude is really not often expressed, not nearly enough at least, and help is easily forgotten. You know, undercutting, backstabbing, it kind of seems to be the order for the day. We have just come out of a nasty season in our nation, and that brings that all to mind. And it kind of brings me to the question, what makes a thankful person? More importantly, I personalize it. How can I be more thankful? How can I be more thankful? So let me propose. I was joking earlier, but there are many habits that we should take on as thankful people. But let me propose three that I narrowed kind of everything down to. The first is be thankful for God's goodness to you. Be thankful for God's goodness to you. In the passage that we read from Deuteronomy 8, God reminds his people. He reminds them how he'd looked after them, how he'd provided for them. You know, if you think back last week, we talked about the journey in the wilderness and all of that, but he's reminding them of, in all that you went through in the wilderness, I took care of you. In verse 3, he reminds them of the manna that he had fed them with. And he says that a couple times to remind them, God had never done this before. This was kind of a new thing that he had done. It was unique for them. It's something that they had not known or their forefathers had not known. He fed them with manna in the wilderness. In verse 4, he talks about how their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell up. And that was a big deal. Unlike the clothes you buy at the mall now that fall apart after first washing, you know, their clothes were very important. It's what protected them from the elements. It's what kept them alive in a very real sense. But like all other clothes, I mean, they're probably made out of wool or some natural fiber. You know, that they do wear out. But he said, no, yours did not wear out. Your clothes did not wear out. And your feet did not swell. That seems a little humorous, but think about it. If you're walking everywhere, that would be a big deal. Be a big deal. And then verses 6 through 9, God then paints this beautiful picture of what he is going to provide to them. Here's what awaits you in the promised land. And then in verses 11 through 18, he warns them. He says, but don't forget God's goodness. Once you begin to enjoy all these things in the promised land, do not forget the blessings and where they came from. In verse 11, he says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. And in verse 17, he warns them. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. If you go back and read it again, you'll notice that forget, the word forget is mentioned three times, and the word remember is also mentioned once. And in that portion of Scripture, that's significant. It's significant then and it's significant now. And you say, why is that? I think it's because it amazes me how easily we forget God's blessings, don't we? Amen or oh me or oh my. You know, we do. We do. So often God blesses us when we cry out to him. We say, God, I need your help. And he does. He helps us. He blesses us. But then we don't seem to have time for him afterwards. Okay, God, I know you're busy. I've got it from here. No. He wants us to remember. He wants us to remember and be thankful because it shapes our heart into what he desires for us to be. I know that I've prayed with people that are in crisis. You know, and you help them and you work through it and you say, you know, trust in the Lord, trust in God's people, you know, and everything works out for them. You know, they have a lot of time and energy for God when they're in crisis, but a lot of times afterwards, we kind of think somehow it was to our credit. Another way that we forget God's goodness is that in spite of all of his blessings, we look at other people's blessings and we begin to grumble. We say, well, God, I know you've blessed me, but it looks like you've blessed them a little more than me. And I'd like to know why that is. We're guilty of that. As I read back in kind of Old Testament setting, I started reading ahead. I read this and I read the warnings and I said, you know, I know that didn't work all the time for God's people. They kind of went into this cycle. And one of the things that stuck out was the fact that God, for many years, was Israel's king and provided for his people. Somewhere along the way, though, in 1 Samuel 8, Israel very unashamedly began to ask for a human king of their own. Why? Because they wanted to keep pace with the other nations around them. Translation, they wanted what they wanted, and they wanted it now. And they wanted someone tangible that they thought could give that to them. So they began to say, God, why can't we have a king? All the cool nations have kings. Why can't we have a king? And God said, if all the cool nations were jumping off a cliff, would you? No, he didn't. He didn't say that, but he probably felt like it. You know, they saw the kings in the neighboring cultures. They saw the kings giving to their people. And they says, we want that. God, we know that you've blessed us, but it looks like they're blessed more. We want that. And in that very act, they forgot God's goodness. you all know me. You know that I do not preach politics. But now that the election is over, I can share that my fear through all of this process we've been going through, as Americans, I felt like that we had forgotten God's goodness and we were trying to elect a king, a monarch, that will take care of all of our wants. And as you begin to see the commercials, that was the target, is I will give you what you want. And it was all the way across. It was both sides. It was all the way across the board. You know, and sometimes when we focus so much on what we want, that is a great indicator that we have forgotten God's goodness. Compare also how Solomon responded with such humility to God's promise. God said, I'm going to offer you success. I'm going to give you success in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. What will that look like? And Solomon in his humility said, I ask only for wisdom and knowledge to lead your people. But in 1 Kings 11, we sadly see that in later years, Solomon's heart had turned to other gods and that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. For all that he had been blessed, he forgot God's goodness. Let us not be guilty of the same. Be thankful for God's goodness. Second of all, be thankful for others' goodness to us, for us. Let me give you a couple examples of unthankful spirits. Imagine you are a senior manager. And you bring on an intern, you bring on someone that you see potentially, and you say, I want to teach them. I see the potential. And so you bring them in and you pour yourself into them, teaching them all that you know about your business. And then the day comes when that younger person undercuts you and steals your position and your job. How do you feel about that? Probably not thankful. Probably not like that you have been remembered in a thankful way. Or consider a young lady who invites a friend going through trouble into her home for a season to help her through that trauma. And the traumatized friend begins an affair with the hospitable lady's husband, and the family is torn apart. That's not a thankful spirit. But you know, stories like these are not uncommon. Pick up the newspaper and read it. It's or don't. Maybe or don't. You know, because these stories remind us constantly that we need to cultivate thankfulness in our lives and not forget what other people do for us, large or small, what they do for us. Let me give you some more scripture examples. In 1 Samuel 23, David, before he became king, David saved the people of Kilalau from the horrors of being captured by the Philistines. And the way they showed their thanksgiving or their thankfulness to David was that they were ready to hand him over along with his followers to King Saul. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate that. You know, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's cupbearer's dream favorably in Genesis chapter 40, but the man showed ample ingratitude by doing what? Yeah, he forgot all about him. He said, I won't forget you for this, and then promptly forgot it. Now, I know, you know, that God's working his way out, but still, be thankful. Because as much as we want to brag about it, none of us, nobody makes it on their own. You know, along the way, there have been people who have invested their time, who've invested their wisdom, their energy, their advice, their skills in each one of us, right? Do your heads this way. Sure, I mean, we acknowledge that. You see, people have been giving us a helping hand, especially when we needed it, and that serves as the catalyst to make us who we are. But oftentimes, we forget about them. You know, I can think of so many people who have helped me along life's journey and the progress of ministry. As I was writing it this week, I started just jotting down names in the margin. Just jotting down names of people. And before I knew it, I had, you know, all the way down that page, down the back. And I know I forgot some people. But I'm saying there's so many people that have brought me along in my journey. Let me tell you publicly that you, the people of College Park, have been more of a blessing to me and my family, especially in the last 8 months, than you will ever know. We will not forget your goodness because we have reminders of that goodness all around us that surround us constantly, that lift us up. And I know you've experienced that too. The people of this body, taking care of one another, providing help and support and encouragement along the way, because we know that we've received that. And so out of a thankful heart, we do the same for others. So take a minute, think about those that have impacted your life in a significant and positive way. Think about it. Maybe it's a good time to thank them by just giving them a call, sending them a card, expressing your gratitude for them. I know, because I've been on the receiving end, it is incredibly edifying to receive those notes or those calls. Be thankful for the goodness of others. Thirdly, be thankful for our family's goodness to us. You know, we're guilty, I'm afraid, of taking our spouses and our children and our parents and other family members for granted, aren't we? You know, we forget, you know, what they've been through with us, you know, their love, their faithfulness, their commitment. It's been said that home is the place where we are loved the most, but sometimes where we hurt the most, right? And maybe it's because we feel like that's a safe place to do it, but it's so hurtful. Be thankful instead. Being thankful and appreciative are ways, let me tell you, that they are ways that can stifle Satan's strategy to invade our homes. You know, in my ministry, I've seen relationships between family members that just, it cripples them for a lifetime. And it's over petty things. It's over things that don't matter. It's over things that'll burn anyway. You know, and they harbor grudges, and they're not invited to family meetings, or when they are, they're shunned. I mean, it's just, it's crazy stuff. And it doesn't matter. Those things that they're upset about don't matter, but the hurt matters deeply. If you look at Scripture, I mean, Scripture is full of dysfunctional families, just so you'll know. And you know, in that way, we learn some very serious lessons from reading about the hurt that's caused by family. My mind immediately went to Absalom. Absalom's ingratitude toward his father David, that ingratitude led or resulted in him attempting to overthrow the throne. Unbelievable. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 14 and 15, read about it. It's unbelievable. And then we have Abraham. Abraham, the father of our faith, you know, and we all, you know, look to Abraham. But even in his own life, remember, he lied about his wife Sarah, not once, men, but twice, to save his own skin. I don't know about you, but that would not go over well in my house. I mean, it wouldn't. I mean, my wife is a saint, but that would probably push. Yeah. So let's look at family members for a minute then. In order to be thankful and to appreciate them, let's look at them. Husbands, remember the girl that you met at the altar? Mine cried all the way through the ceremony. I was starting to second guess it, but she assured me they were tears of joy. but remember that girl that you met at the altar. Remember the one who bore your child and who stood by your side faithfully. Be thankful. Why not express your thanks in a new and maybe even romantic way? Kenny Rogers and Alison Krauss, and interestingly enough, also Luther Vandross, recorded a great song entitled "Buy Me a Rose." Let me quote you just one line of it. Lyrics say, "Buy me a rose, call me from work, open the door for me. What would it hurt?" Indeed, what would it? The little things that say thank you. Wives, remember the man that you fell in love with and swooned over? People don't swoon anymore, do they? Be thankful. Be thankful for what he has been for you. A little gray hair and extra weight doesn't have to bring any negativity to your feelings. Be thankful. Children, be thankful to the mother who bore you inside of her and the father who sacrificed much for you. No, they're not perfect. Otherwise, you would have been too, genetically speaking. And we all know that that's not true. So they're not perfect. But they love you. Be thankful. Parents, be thankful for the children that God has blessed you with. If you're a grandparent, put that down too. Remember the joy that your children brought you in their growing up years. Children have their ups and downs, and they make a lot of mistakes. But it's our love, it's our prayers, and it's our understanding that shows them Jesus. And that's the most important job that we have. Siblings, be thankful for the years and the times that you had together in days gone by. Do not let it deteriorate. Build on it. Build on it. Don't tear it down. Widows, widowers, remember your deceased spouse with pleasant memories and a thankful heart. Think of the joy of meeting them in heaven one day. Now, I realize that even as I go through this list, that there are probably many of you who may not have had a positive family experience. I understand that. Maybe you're divorced, maybe you're separated, maybe you're struggling alone as a single parent. Maybe you've been through an abusive family situation, and you're not feeling particularly thankful. Ask Jesus to make life meaningful for you once again, and I promise you, He will not disappoint you. People disappoint us. God never will. He will not disappoint you. That may sound, and even as I say it, I realize it sounds oversimplistic, but it's so true. It is so true. He is a Savior who brings restoration, not condemnation, restoration into our lives. So let me challenge you, even as I've challenged myself all week. Make this season, this whole season, from now to Thanksgiving into Advent, make all of it one of true thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God, thankfulness to others, thankfulness to family. Make it a season to remember the goodness that you've received, because you truly have. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for placing us here this morning. Thank you for placing us in your care, the care of fellow saints and family members, but your care also. Father, help our hearts to express adequately our thanksgiving, our thankfulness. Forgive us when we're selfish. Forgive us when we're hateful. Bring us closer to you so we can be more like you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to do something that I warned you about in a letter as well as last week. And we don't do this normally, so visitors, if you would bear with us. We are going to receive our offering here at the front this morning. You see before you our cornucopias here representing our thankful hearts. And you received in your letter a envelope. And the same envelope was duplicated in your order of service in case you forgot yours. But I'm going to ask you in a few moments, our ushers are going to direct you. You won't have to think, they'll guide you. It'll be all right. And they're going to come and bring the side sections down first, and you'll come down the center aisles and then go back and loop into your place where you were seated. And you're going to place your offering here in the envelope. Now, I recognize some of you may have your regular offering envelopes. This, you can place them here as well because the plate will not be passed. I know, it's almost heresy in a Baptist church. You know, but the plate will not be passed. Bring those when you come down. If you're here as a guest and you see the envelope in there and you'd like to participate, we'd love for you to. Don't get me wrong, we'd love for you to. But we understand that you came unprepared today, and that's fine. Our side sections will come first, then the ushers will bring the center section down, and then the balcony and the choir will be brought down simultaneously. And we'll start this even as we begin to sing. This is an expression of our thanksgiving. This is a response to God's mercy in our lives. So many times I'm afraid we do not give out of a thankful heart, or we do not respond in an act of worship. And so we want to give you a chance to do that this morning. Would you stand with me and sing with me?
Yeah. In a world that is so often focused on gratification, often of our own selfish wants, God's word tells us that we should be grateful and show gratitude for what we have been given and for what he supplies each day. I invite you to read with us in your bulletin the responsive reading. I will read the light print. If you would read along the bold print, read aloud with me, please. The world says, "Be sure you get what's coming to you."
The word says, life doesn't consist of what you possess.
The world says, spend and accumulate goods.
The word says, give and you will develop character.
The world says, wealth is a person's security.
The word says, refuge in God is our security.
The world says, you deserve the best.
The word says, God.
The world says, give so that you may obtain favor from others.
The word says, give because you have received favor from God.
The world says, seek your own gratification.
The word says, offer to God your gratitude.
Won't you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the chance to come to your house and to present this offering to you. We know that we live in a world that is often distracting and focused on selfish and inward things. And Father, we pray that we would be focused on you, focused on helping others, focused on giving back out of the many blessings that you've given to us. Father, we pray that we would have this feeling of gratefulness each day, not just Sundays, not just on Thanksgiving. The Father, that we would always be grateful for all we have been given. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
have experienced in worship, we want to invite you to respond. You have responded in worship already because your offering is an act of worship. You give of who you are. You give of all that you have. That is an act of worship. And we also want to give you a chance to make any kind of decision that's been placed on your heart. As you've experienced worship, as you've heard God's word, as we've prayed, as we've sung praises to Him, if there's any decision that you need to make this morning in your relationship with God, it may be a first-time decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. It may be a recommitment of who you are and all that you have to God. You may like to join this congregation. As I say every week, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful congregation of believers. Come be a part. If you would like to be a part, there are many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. 638, Now Thank We All Our God. Stand with me. I invite you, following our benediction and response, to greet our guest. Again, thank you all for being here, as well as all of our guests. Greet one another, offer a word of encouragement and support and thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, again, we thank you for who you are in our lives, for who you've placed in our lives, and for the wonderful family that you've placed us, not only in our homes, but also this the family of God. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, it would be with changed hearts as a result of our time of worship and what we've experienced here today. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.